Okay, my friends. So today we are reading a collection of Rudyard Kipling's stories. They're called his Just So stories. And today's story is called The Elephant's Child. And the illustrations for this book were done by Louise Voce. And I'm really excited about seeing it, aren't you? Because I'm very curious to know what happens to the elephant's child that is worth writing a story about. The baby elephant. Let's get to it. So today's story is read by Mommy and... he's a sleeping iffy? Is that what you are? A sleeping Pikachu. Wait, are you sure? Okay, a sleeping Pikachu. So, buckle up, everybody. Here we go. In the high and far off times, the elephant, oh, best beloved, had no trunk. He had only a blackish, bulgy nose, as big as a boot, that he could wiggle and wriggle about from side to side, but he couldn't pick things up with it. Well, there was one elephant, a new elephant, an elephant's child, who was full of insatiable curiosity. And that means he asked ever so many questions. And he lived in Africa, and he filled all Africa with his insatiable curiosities. He asked his tall aunt, the ostrich, why her tail feathers grew just so. And his tall aunt, the ostrich, spanked him with her hard, hard claw. Goodness, doesn't seem like a very nice aunt. He was just asking questions. And he asked his tall uncle, the giraffe, what made his skin so spotty, and his tall uncle, the giraffe, spanked him hard with his hard, hard hoof. Good grief, I think I'd stay away from that uncle. And he was full of insatiable curiosity still. Well, he asked his broad aunt, the hippopotamus, why her eyes were red, and his broad aunt, the hippopotamus, spanked him with her broad, broad hoof. Yikes. Then he asked his hairy uncle, the baboon, why melons tasted just so, and his hairy uncle, the baboon, spanked him with his hairy, hairy paw. I'm noticing a lot of spanking going on. And still he was full of...
curiosity.
Yes, insatiable curiosity. Do you know what insatiable means? It means never satisfied. It means constantly filling up with more and more and more and more and never meeting your end. Well, he asked questions about everything that he saw or heard or felt or smelt or touched, and all his uncles and aunts spanked him. Awful. And he was still full of satiable curiosity. So one fine morning in the middle of the procession of the equinoxes, this insatiable elephant's child asked a few fine questions that he had never asked before. He asked, what does the crocodile have for dinner? And then everybody said, hush, in a loud and dreadful tone. And they spanked him immediately and directly without stopping for a long time. Goodness. By and by, when he was finished with that, he came to the, look at this, the Kolokolo bird. And now you can see in the picture what the Kolokolo bird looks like. It's blue with white spots on its chest. And its tail feathers kind of look like fire because they're yellow and red and orange. And the top of his head kind of looks like a turkey, maybe.
Like a hand.
It's got four red feathers sticking up off the top, right? Okay. my father has spanked me, and my mother has spanked me, and my aunts and my uncles have spanked me for my insatiable curiosity, and I still want to know what the crocodile has for dinner, he said. Well, then Kolo Kolo Bird said, with a mournful cry, go to the banks of the great gray-green, greasy Limpopo River, all set out with favor trees, and find out. That's a pretty good idea. So that very next morning, when there was nothing left of the equinoxes, because the procession had proceeded according to the precedent, this insatiable elephant's child took 100 pounds of bananas, the little short red kind, and 100 pounds of sugar cane, the long purple kind, and 17 melons, the green crockily kind, and said to all his dear families, goodbye, I'm going to the great gray-green greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, to find out what the crocodile has for dinner. Yeah, and they all spanked him once more for good luck, though he was just asking them politely to stop. Goodness. And then he went away, a little warm, but not at all. I don't know. Maybe that's how animals do. It might be an animal thing. It kind of helps you to understand why humans are much better than animals in that sense. I don't believe we should pop our kids every time they ask a question.
Pop.
Yeah, not kind. Oh, well, anyways, he went away a little warm, but not at all astonished, eating melons and throwing the rind out because he could not pick it up.
What rind?
Well, when you have a melon, the fruit inside the melon is the part that you eat. You don't eat the outside. They call that the rind. Have you ever tried to eat the green part of watermelon? Yeah, it's crunchy and hard, and you can't do it. That's the rind. Now, the inside is where what they call the meat, even though it's not meat, it's fruit. That's where the good stuff is. Okay, now, he went from Grahamstown to Kimberley, and from Kimberley to Kama's country, and from Kama's country, he went east by north, eating melons all the time, until at last he came to the banks of the great gray-green, greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, precisely as the Kokoloko bird had said. Goodness, so much there. I'm going to guess these are all parts of Africa where he's wandering around. Now, you must know and understand, oh best beloved, that till that very day, that week, that hour, that minute, this insatiable elephant's child had never seen a crocodile and did not know what one was like. It was all his insatiable curiosity. The first thing that he found was a bicolored python rock snake curled around a rock. Excuse me, said the elephant's child most politely, but have you seen such a thing as a crocodile in these promiscuous parts? Have I seen a crocodile? Said the bicolored python rock snake in a voice of dreadful scorn. What will you ask me next? Excuse me, said the elephant's child, but could you kindly tell me what he has for dinner? Well, then, the bicolored python rock snake uncoiled himself very quickly from the rock and spanked the elephant's child with his scalesome, flailsome tail. This poor elephant's child! I feel so bad for him. Okay.
That is odd, said the elephant's child, because my father and my mother and my uncle and my aunt, not to mention my other aunt, the hippopotamus, and my other uncle and the baboon, have all spanked me for my insatiable curiosity. And I suppose this is the same thing.
So he said goodbye very politely to the bicolored python rock snake and helped him to coil back up onto his rock again and went on, a little warm, but not at all astonished.
I know why they're spanking.
Why?
because every answer of his questions is you.
Oh, you think the crocodiles are going to eat him?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. That's a very wonderful observation. Let's see what happens. Okay. Where was I? Ah, yes. He was going along, eating melons, throwing the rind on the ground because he couldn't pick them up until he trod on what he thought was a log of wood at the very edge of the great gray-green greasy Limpopo River, all set about by fever trees. But it was really the crocodile. Oh, best beloved, and the crocodile winked one eye like this. You can't see it, my friends, but I'm giving him a good wink.
Excuse me, said the elephant's child most politely, but do you happen to have seen a crocodile in these promiscuous parts?
Mm-hmm. Well, the crocodile winked the other eye and lifted half his tail out of the mud. Now, the elephant's child stepped back most politely because he did not wish to be spanked again. Come hither, little one, said the crocodile. Why do you ask such things?
Excuse me, said the elephant's child most politely, but my father has spanked me and my mother has spanked me, and not to mention my tall aunt the ostrich and my tall uncle the giraffe, who can kick ever so hard, as well as my broad aunt the hippopotamus and my hairy uncle the baboon, and including some bicolored python rock snake and some with some scales, some flails, some tail just up the bank, who spanks harder than any of them. And so if it's quite all the same to you, I don't want to be spanked anymore.
Come hither, little one, said the crocodile, for I am the crocodile. And he wept crocodile tears to show that it was quite true. Oh, did you know the crocodiles shed tears?
No.
Well, I guess they do. Well, have you ever heard anyone say, oh, you're really crying crocodile tears? Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah.
It really means that you are, like, your tears are really, really big. Giant tears. Okay. Okay, so then the elephant's child put his head down close to the crocodile's musky, tusky mouth. And the crocodile caught him by his little nose, which up to that very week, hour, day, minute, it had been no bigger than a boot, though much more useful, I think, said the crocodile. And he said it between his teeth like this.
I think today I will begin with elephant's child.
At this, oh, best beloved, the elephant's child was much annoyed, and he began speaking through his nose like this.
Let go, you are hurting me.
Because his nose had been pulled on, right? Well, then the bicolored python rock snake scuffled down from the bank and said,
my young friend, if you do not now, immediately and instantly pull as hard as ever you can, it is my opinion that your acquaintance in the large pattern leather ulster,
and by this he meant the crocodile,
will jerk you into yonder limpid stream before you can say Jack Robinson.
Now, this is the way that bicolored python rock snakes always talk. And then the elephant's child sat back on his little haunches and pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled. And his nose began to stretch, and the crocodile floundered in the water, making it all creamy with his great sweeps of his tail. And he pulled and pulled and pulled. And the elephant's child nose just kept stretching, and the elephant's child spread all four of his little legs and pulled and pulled and pulled, and the nose just kept on stretching. And the crocodile thrashed his tail like an oar, and he pulled and he pulled and he pulled and he pulled. The elephant's child's nose grew longer and longer, and it hurt him. And then the elephant's child felt his legs slipping, and he said through his nose, for it was now nearly 5 feet long,
"This is too much for me."
And then the bicolored python rock snake came down from the bank and knotted himself in a double clove hitch knot around the elephant's child's hind legs and said,
"Rash and inexperienced traveler, we will now seriously devote ourselves to a little high tension, because if we do not, it is my impression that yonder self-propelling man-of-war with the armor-plated upper deck,"
and by this, O best beloved, he meant the crocodile,
"will permanently vitiate your future career."
Oh, they are all stretched out here. So, okay, there's a lot of huge words here, and not all of them are, I think, can make sense to you. Do you know what permanently means? What does it mean?
Forever.
Correct. And so what do you think that he's saying here? This self-propelling man of war, that's another way of saying this ship that moves by itself is going to destroy your future career permanently.
I know
what does he mean?
He means this crocodile,
yeah,
is gonna destroy you being a grown-up elephant permanently.
Yes, exactly. Probably because it's going to eat it, right? Crocodile's gonna eat the elephant's child. And that's just the way that bicolored python rock snakes always talk. It's important to know that some people in this world have what I would call an extended vocabulary, which means they use much larger words than the rest of us do. So instead of saying "that guy over there," he says "that yonder," which is another way of saying "over there." It's just, there's a lot going on here. He's incredibly smart. So, but you know what? So is the young elephant's child. He uses big words too. But let's keep going. And so he pulled, and the elephant's child pulled, and the crocodile pulled. And so we've got a lot of pulling going on here. But the elephant's child and the bicolor python rock snake pulled hardest. And at last, the crocodile let go of the elephant's child's nose with a plop that you could hear all up and down the Limpopo River. And then the elephant's child sat down most hard and sudden, but first he was careful to say "thank you" to the bicolored python rock snake, and next kind to his poor pulled nose. And he wrapped it up in cool banana leaves, and he hung it in the great gray-green greasy Limpopo to cool.
"What are you doing that for?"
said the bicolored python rock snake.
"Excuse me," said the elephant's child, "but my nose is badly out of shape, and I'm waiting for it to shrink." "Then you will have to wait a long time,"
said the bicolored python rock snake.
"Some people do not know what is good for them."
Well, the elephant's child sat there for 3 days waiting for his nose to shrink, but it never grew any shorter. And besides, it made him squint, for, oh, best beloved, you will see and understand that the crocodile had pulled it nearly into a really, truly trunk, same as all elephants have today. And at the end of the third day, a fly came and stung him on the shoulder. And before he knew what he was doing, he lifted up his trunk and hit that fly dead with the end of it.
"Advantage number one," said the bicolored python rock snake. "You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Now, try and eat a little."
But before he thought of what he was doing, the elephant's child could put out his trunk and plucked a large bundle of grass.
Look, this is what his trunk used to look like, but now he looks like this.
Yes. So here, friends, just you cannot see what Philip was just doing, but he folded his arm at the elbow, and that's what the nose used to look like. And then he stretched his arm out long in front of him, and that's what the elephant nose looks like now. Okay. So here's the elephant's child, and he has put out his trunk and plucked a large bundle of grass, dusted it clean with his forelegs, and stuffed it into his own mouth.
"Advantage number two," said the bicolored python rock snake. "You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Don't you think the sun is very hot here?"
"It is," said the elephant's child. And before he thought what he was doing, he slooped up a sloop of mud from the banks of the great gray-green greasy Limpopo and slapped it on his head, where it made a cool, sloopsy, sloshy mud cap all trickly behind his ears.
"Vantage number three," said the bi-colored python rock snake. "You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Now, how do you feel about getting spanked again?"
"Excuse me," said the elephant's child,
"but I should not like it at all. How would you like to spank somebody?"
said the bicolored python rock snake.
"I should like it very much indeed,"
said the elephant's child.
"Well,"
said the bicolored python rock snake,
"you will find that new nose of yours is very useful to spank people with."
"Thank you," said the elephant's child. "I'll remember that. And now I think I will go home to my dear families and try." So the elephant's child went home across Africa, frisking and whisking his trunk. And when he wanted to eat fruit, he pulled the fruit down from the tree instead of waiting for it to fall as he used to do. And when he wanted grass, he plucked the grass up from the ground instead of going down on his knees like he used to do. And when the flies bit him, he broke off a branch from a cool tree and used it as a fly whisk. And he made himself a new, cool, slushy, squashy mud cap whenever the sun was hot. And when he felt lonely walking through Africa, he sang to himself down his trunk, and the noise was louder than several brass bands, and he went especially out of his way to find a broad hippopotamus, and she was no relation of his. And he spanked her very hard to make sure that the bicolored python rock snake had spoken the truth about his new trunk. And the rest of the time, he picked up the melon rinds that he had dropped on his way to Limpopo, for he was a very tidy pachyderm. Ooh, big word. Pachyderm. Do you know what that word means? It means elephant. Yeah, pachyderm is another way of saying elephant. Only it's their proper name from the Animal Kingdom. Yeah. Okay. Anyways. So one dark evening, he came to all of his dear families, and he coiled up his trunk and he said, "How do you do?" And they were very glad to see him and immediately, "Come here and be spanked for your insatiable curiosity."
"Pooh," said the elephant's child. "I don't think you people know anything about spanking, but I do, and I'll show you."
And then he uncurled his trunk and knocked two of his dear brothers over head over heels.
"Oh, bananas," they said. "Where did you learn that trick? And what have you done to your nose?" "I got a new one from the crocodile on the banks of the great gray green greasy Limpopo River," said the elephant's child. "Yeah, I asked him what he wanted for dinner and he gave me this to keep."
"It looks very ugly,"
said his hairy uncle, the baboon. It does, said the elephant's child, but it's very useful. And he picked up his hairy uncle, the baboon, by one hairy leg and hove him into a hornet's nest. And then that bad elephant's child spanked all his dear families for a long time, till they were very warm and greatly astonished. And then he pulled out his tall ostrich ant's tail feathers and caught his tall uncle, a giraffe, by the hind legs and dragged him through a thorn bush. And then he shouted at his broad aunt, the hippopotamus, and blew bubbles into her ear. Oh, when she was sleeping in the water after meals, good grief, but he never let anyone touch the colo-colo bird. Wow. Do you know what I think? I think all of these family members need to be taught a very good lesson on manners. One does not hurt another person on purpose, maliciously, to try to hurt them. It's just not done. It's not the done thing. No, we use kind manners, and we would never willingly hurt our family members. Right?
What the baby elephant did?
Yes.
That was a good lesson.
Well, it was probably wise, I think, for everyone to not hit anybody. We should not hit anyone, and I suppose that might be the lesson here, is don't go around whacking somebody, because you never know, if they might grow a giant nose and whack you back. At last, things grew so exciting that his dear families went off one by one in a hurry to the banks of the great gray-green, greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees to borrow new noses from the crocodile, and when they came back, nobody spanked anybody anymore. And ever since that day, oh, best beloved, all the elephants that you will ever see, besides those that you won't, have trunks precisely like the trunk of the insatiable elephant's child. And what a story that is. The end. Thanks so much for listening to today's story. If you wanted to get a copy of this story, I have got a great tool I wanted to make you aware of. You can pop over to amazon.com/shop/storytimewithphilipandmommy, and you will see I've created a list for every month of the year, and in each list, I have put links for every story that we have read in that month. So you can easily find a link to the story so you can purchase it for yourself. And of course, this all goes to help support our podcast so we can get new materials. And of course, don't forget, you can also pick up your copy of the Storytime with Philip and Mommy book, The Sprightly Sprite and the Dragon. And of course, we always hope that you guys enjoy our stories. And we want to say thank you so much for listening.